Chapter 14. Petronius to Vinicius. I send to thee from Antium, by a trusty slave, this letter, to which, though thy hand is more accustomed to the sword, and the javelin than the pen, I think that thou wilt answer through the same messenger without needless delay. I left thee on a good trail, and full of hope. Hence I trust, that thou hast either satisfied thy pleasant desires in the embraces of Lydia, or wilt satisfy them before the real wintry wind from the summits of Soric shall blow on the Campania. Oh, my Vinicius! May thy preceptress be the golden goddess of Cyprus. Be thou, on thy part, the preceptor of that Lydian Aurora, who is fleeing before the sun of love. And remember always that marble, though most precious, is nothing of itself, and acquires real value only when the sculptor's hand turns it into a masterpiece. Be thou such a sculptor, Carissim. To love is not sufficient. One must know how to love. One must know how to teach love. Though the plebs too, and even animals, experience pleasure, a genuine man differs from them in this especially, that he makes love in some way a noble art, and, admiring it, knows all its divine value, makes it present in his mind, thus satisfying not his body tilde merely, but his soul. More than once, when I think here of the emptiness, the uncertainty, the dreariness of life, it occurs to me that perhaps thou hast chosen better, and that not Caesar's court, but war and love, are the only objects for which it is worth, while to be born and to live. Thou wert fortunate in war, be fortunate also in love. And if thou art curious, as to what men are doing at the court of Caesar, I will inform thee from time to time. We are living here at Antium, and nursing our heavenly voice. We continue to cherish the same hatred of Rome, and think of bedecking ourselves to BAI tilde for the winter, to appear in public at Naples, whose inhabitants, being Greeks, will appreciate us better than that wolf brood on the banks of the Tiber. People will hasten thither from Bate, from Pompeia, Puteoli, Cumae, and Stabia. Neither applause nor crowns will be lacking, and that will be an encouragement for the proposed expedition to Achaia. But the memory of the infant Augusta? Yes. We are bewailing her yet. We are singing hymns of our own composition, so wonderful that the sirens have been hiding from envy in Amphitrite's deepest caves. But the dolphins would listen to us, were they not prevented by the sound of the sea. Our suffering is not allayed yet. Hence we will exhibit it to the world in every form which sculpture can employ, and observe carefully, if we are beautiful in our suffering, and if people recognize this beauty. Oh, my dear! We shall die buffoons and comedians. All the Augustians are here, male and female, not counting 10,000 servants, and 500 chiasses, in whose milk Poppy bathes. At times even it is cheerful here. Calvia Crispinilla is growing old. It is said, that as he has begged Popsa, to let her take the bath immediately after herself. Lucan slapped Nigidia on the face, because he suspected her of relations with a gladiator. Sporus lost his wife at dice to Senecia. Torquatus Silenus has offered me for Eunice 4 chestnut horses, which this year will win the prize beyond doubt. I would not accept. Thanks to thee, also, that thou d-tilde-dst not take her. As to Torquatus Silenus, the poor man does not even suspect that he is already more a shade than a man. His death is decided. And knowest what his crime is? He is the great-grandson of the deified Augustus. There is no rescue for him. Such is our world. As is known to thee, we have been expecting Tiridates here. Meanwhile Volagesus has written an offensive letter. Because he has conquered Armenia, he asks that it be left to him for Tiridates. If not, he will not yield it in any case. Pure comedy. So we have decided on war. Corbulo will receive power such as Pompeius Magnus received in the war with pirates. There was a moment, however, when Nero hesitated. He seems afraid of the glory which Corbulo will win in case of victory. It was even thought to offer the chief command to Aulus. This was opposed by Poppy, for whom evidently Pomponia's virtue is as salt in the eye. Vatinius described to us a remarkable fight of gladiators, which is to take place in Beneventum. See the what cobblers rise in our time, in spite of the saying, Nisuter ultra crepidum. Vatilius is the descendant of a cobbler, but Vatinius is the son of one. Perhaps he drew threat himself. The actor Lycurus represented Oedipus yesterday wonderfully. I asked him, by the way, as a Jew, if Christians and Jews were the same. He answered that the Jews have an eternal religion, but that Christians are a new sect risen recently in Judea, that in the time of Tiberius the Jews crucified a certain man, whose adherents in Christali, and that the Christians consider him as God. They refuse, it seems, to recognize other gods, ours especially. I cannot understand what harm it would do them to recognize these gods. Tigellinus shows me open enmity now. So far he is unequal to me, but he is superior in this, that he cares more for life, and is at the same time a greater scoundrel, which brings him nearer Ahenobarbus. These two will understand each other earlier or later, and then my turn will come. I know not when it will come, but I know this, that as things are it must come, hence let time pass. Meanwhile we must amuse ourselves. Life of itself would not be bad were it not for Bronzebeard. Thanks to him, a man at times is disgusted with himself. It is not correct to consider the struggle for his favor as a kind of rivalry in a circus, as a kind of game, as a struggle, in which victory flatters vanity. True, I explain it to myself in that way frequently, but still it seems to me sometimes that I am like Chio, and better in nothing than he. When he ceases to be needful to thee, send him to me. I have taken a fancy to his edifying conversation. A greeting from me to thy divine Christian, or rather beggar in my name, not to be a fish to thee. Inform me of thy health, inform me of thy love, know how to love, teach how to love, and farewell. Vincius to Pimansus. Lydia is not found yet. Were it not for the hope that I shall find her soon, thou wouldst not receive an answer. For when a man is disgusted with life, he has no wish to write letters. I wanted to learn whether Chilo was not deceiving me, and at night when he came to get the money for Eurystheus, I threw on a military mantle, and unobserved followed him, and the slave whom I sent with him. When they reached the place, I watched from a distance, hidden behind a portico pillar, and convinced myself that Eurystheus was not invented. Below, a number of tens of people were unloading stones from a spacious barge, and piling them up on the bank. I saw Chilo approach them, and begin to talk with some old man, who after a while fell at his feet. Others surrounded them with shouts of admiration. Before my eyes the boy gave a purse to Eurystheus, who on seizing it began to pray with upraised hands, while at his side some second person was kneeling, evidently his son. Chilo said something which I could not hear, and blessed the two who were kneeling, as well as others, making in the air signs in the form of a cross, which they honor apparently, ever all bent their knees. The desire seized me to go among them, and promised three such purses to him who would deliver to me Lydia, but I feared to spoil Chilo's work, and after hesitating a moment went home. This happened at least 12 days after thy departure. Since then Chilo has been a number of times with me. He says that he has gained great significance among the Christians, that if he has not found Lydia so far, it is because the Christians in Rome are innumerable, hence all are not acquainted with each person in their community, and cannot know everything that is done in it. They are cautious too, and in general reticent. He gives assurance, however, that when he reaches the elders, who are called presbyters, he will learn every secret. He has made the acquaintance of a number of these already, and has begun to inquire of them, though carefully, so as not to rouse suspicion by haste, and not to make the work still more difficult. Though it is hard to wait, though patience fails, I feel that he is right, and I wait. He learned, too, that they have places of meeting for prayer, frequently outside the city, in empty houses, and even in sand pits. There they worship Christ, sing hymns, and have feasts. There are many such places. Shiloh supposes that Lydia goes purposely to different ones from Pomponia, so that the latter, in case of legal proceedings or an examination, might swear boldly that she knew nothing of Lydia's hiding place. It may be that the press spiders have advised caution. When Shiloh discovers those places, I will go with him, and if the gods let me see Lydia, I swear to thee by Jupiter that she will not escape my hands this time. I am thinking continually of those places of prayer. Shiloh is unwilling that I should go with him. He is afraid. But I cannot stay at home. I should know her at once, even in disguise or if veiled. They assemble in the night, but I should recognize her in the night even. I should know her voice and motions anywhere. I will go myself in disguise, and look at every person who goes in or out. I am thinking of her always, and shall recognize her. Shiloh is to come tomorrow, and we shall go. I will take arms. Some of my slaves sent to the provinces have returned empty-handed. But I am certain now that she is in the city, perhaps not far away even. I myself have visited many houses under pretext of renting them. She will fare better with me 100 times. Where she is, whole legions of poor people dwell. Besides, I shall spare nothing for her sake. Thou writest that I have chosen well. I have chosen suffering and sorrow. We shall go first to those houses which are in the city, then beyond the gates. Hope looks for something every morning, otherwise life would be impossible. Thou sayest that one should know how to love. I knew how to talk of love to Lydia. But now I only yearn. I do nothing but wait for Shiloh. Life to me is unendurable in my own house. Farewell. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.